Hallelujah is right. It'll never lose its power. How many of you know the blood of Jesus will never lose its power?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Never.
Hallelujah.
Lose its
Hallelujah.
Power.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you would stand with me for the reading of God's word. I want to share a verse for your hearing today. A very familiar verse. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 13. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, and it reads, I can do all things through Christ.
Yes.
Who strengthens me.
Yes.
I'm going to read that again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You may be seated in the presence of Almighty God. I will do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I like to preach as the Lord guides from the title, Greater Provision. Greater Provision. Greater Provision. Somehow God has made it so that we lack nothing. Somehow God has made it so that we lack nothing. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your abounding grace. We thank you for your tender mercy.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for your power.
Yes.
Your power made perfect. Lord, we just thank you. Lord, for your patience, your tender kindness. And Lord, we pray even now that you would meet us here in this meeting room, this place where we're together, that you would mend our hearts together and our thoughts, that we would be one with you.
Yes, Lord.
For your thoughts and your ways are higher than our ways. They're so much higher than our thoughts. But as your word comes down from heaven, may it accomplish what you please and prosper in the thing for which you sent it. May your spirit woo in us and guide us into the ways of everlasting. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 And amen.
Amen.
When we look at the letter to the Philippians, we see a joy in the Apostle Paul that some can't explain. And he's giving us a glimpse of what it's like to know Jesus and to live in Christ. He wants to remind us and encourage us that as believers, just as these believers in the Philippian church who are in Christ, that we have this great privilege to pray to heaven that's going to yield results. That when we pray, help is on the way. How many of you learn help is on the way when you pray? That it may not come when you want it, but it'll be there just in time. He wants us to recognize that we have a peace from God that keeps us even in turbulent times. that his presence accompanies us, and that his promise is to provide for us is ever sure. That in chapter 4, Paul wants us to be clear that it is God who is our provider, that we lack nothing in him. But this morning, our text speaks of the power of God to strengthen us. That Christ is our strength and the source of our joy and of our peace. Well, why is that important? It's important because nobody down here, not one man, not one woman, is able to predict their future without the help of God.
Yeah,
and none
know.
Of us, even those crystal balls, they don't work. Tarot card, nothing works. You can't read the stars and predict what's going to happen next. The only way that we know the future is God shared with us. And when we are frustrated, about the way things are going, we get dissatisfied with where we are. We move into a place of discontent. I want to deal with this issue of discontent. The issue of discontent looks like you don't like where you are. You don't like what you have. You don't like who you are. That you turn on yourself. Our mind starts to turn against us. That our minds start to work against us. That's why the Philippian writer tells us to be anxious for nothing. In Philippians 4, 6 through 8, it said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. And then it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But then in verse 8 it says, and think on these things, whatever is good, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure. Think on these things. That our mind works against us. And wherever our mind goes, sometime our body will follow.
Yeah.
That Paul wants us to understand there's a reason that he has this peace of mind in his life. But what is this secret to a life with a peace of mind? Paul expounds on it for us. And the first thing he wants us to understand, we must put all of our trust in the Lord. I know it sounds simple. It sounds simple that we can just go ahead and put all our trust in the Lord. But the truth of the matter is, Brother James, the truth of the matter is there are people, Brother Green, there are people that we'll come in contact with that may be with us, Deacon Dennis, but sometimes the help that we want don't show up.
Yes.
We are disappointed sometimes.
Well,
when the help that we want don't show up. But I got good news for you. Even though the help you want don't show up, but the help you need will always be on time. That God tells us in Psalms 118 and 8, he says, put your trust in the Lord, but don't put your confidence in man. Put your trust in the Lord, but don't put your confidence in man. Disappointment shows up all the time. And if we put our heart in the wrong place, we put our heart in the hands of people instead of our hearts in the hand of God. That's the place of trust where you place your heart. If you place your heart in the hands of people, you're going to find yourself disappointed. I'm talking about anybody and everybody. Because can nobody meet your need like God. Can't nobody. So Paul's in this uncomfortable place. And all of us have been here. We've been in a place of uncomfort where we want people to know we appreciate them, but we also want them to know God got us. Y'all ever been there? That somebody may have disappointed you and you appreciate now they want to help you. But you also want them to know whether they helped or whether they didn't, you are right. And Paul's uncomfortable in this situation. And let's look at the language he uses. He uses rejoicing in the Lord, but he's expressing his gratitude for where they are. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Now, at last, your care." Look. "Now, at last, your care has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity." And sometimes people want to help you, but they can't help you. Sometimes people are just not moved at the time, for whatever reason. But Paul wants us to know that he's going to rejoice in the Lord greatly, because it is the Lord who recognized his needs and met his needs. But more importantly, Brother Green, that we should recognize that it was the Lord's doing that even changed the situation around to allow them to be able to give.
Amen.
Oh. You know, what we miss sometimes is that we always, when we talk about giving, we always think about the recipient. We think you see the blessing in the recipient receiving what is given. But we miss this truth. And I want you to turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20. Verse 38. And Paul wants the church to understand that giving is mutually beneficial. Giving is mutually beneficial, but let's see how. He says this: "Sorrow most of all for the words which he spoke." Paul is speaking while he's on his journey there. And they, let me see here. Acts 35, 20 and 35. He says, I've shown you in every way by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Listen to his transparency. He said, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. Isn't that just like him to bring something like this out? He's the one that lets us know that God's grace is sufficient for us in weakness, that his power is made perfect in weakness. And then he says this, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That the Beatitudes are letting us know that blessed means happy. Blessed, it means to be happy. Happiness is connected to your relationship with God, your trust in God. We must recognize that giving is not just for the receivers, but it's also for the givers.
Yeah.
It's also it's mutually beneficial. And I was sharing this with you today. God didn't just make you a worshiper, but what that means, he made you and me givers. He made you and me givers. And what we say with our life, it is in God I trust. Isn't it interesting? On every dollar bill, it says on the back, in God we trust. Something secures its value. And God has secured you and your value when you put your trust in him. That what is going to help you continue is the substance that God is going to keep sending your way. That's why he made you a giver, because you can count on him. No. But sometimes we're just not satisfied. I understand the reality of it. That our satisfaction sometimes is connected to those who cannot satisfy. But God wants us to connect to him who can satisfy and meet our every need. Paul don't want to have to beg nobody for nothing. That he shouldn't have to beg anybody. One thing about ministry, you should never beg anybody to do anything. Because it is God who is going to reveal the need. God's going to reveal the need. But not only is he going to reveal the need, he's also going to do it. That he's going to do the heavy lifting. He's going to do the work. You know what? How many of you realize sometimes when the help that you wanted didn't show up, God will strengthen you where you needed to be strengthened, that you can get it done. But don't be fooled. Now, like I say, don't be fooled. God wants us to do this together. But his plan is not thwarted by anyone. That his plan and his mission on your life, your purpose on your life, is going to get carried out. And everybody don't have to participate. The only required participant is God. And as long as you got him, then you know everything is going to come to completion. You know everything is going to be perfect in the end. But what is the secret to having the peace of mind to say I'm satisfied? How do we gain satisfaction in our life? Paul then goes on to expound on this even more. Tells us that we need to learn something. That we need to learn some. All of us to be a disciple is a learner. And we call ourselves disciples of Jesus Christ. That means we learners. And Paul has learned something. And he wants every believer to learn it along with him. He said, learn to rest in God doing it. Learn to rest in God doing it. What do I mean? I mean emptiness. This place of emptiness and brokenness, God uses those places. He uses our places of emptiness to fill us so that we can see that where we end, he begins. That the best start is surrender. And then God can fill you with that surrender. That our brokenness allows him to put the pieces back together where they need to go. That when we look at brokenness, it's not a place to feel destitute, but it's a place to let God do the building again. That's what he wants to do, to show us that faithful are he who called us, who also will do it. God called you, and faithful is he who will do it. He's going to bring all things to completion until the day of Christ. He's working in you right now. He's working in you right now. Everything that is happening in your life, he is working it out. We can call it the sovereignty of God in the sense that he's rule over everything and nothing happens without his say-so. And we know all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. He called you. And if he called you, guess who's going to do it? He going to do it. He going to do it. He called you to do a work. He going to do it. I was thinking about this morning. In 1996, I was led to start a business. Had a handful of clients. And we were working. And everything seemed to be moving. And then the activities just started to rise. And we were working from home. And didn't have enough space to handle the demand. Now, I was in the IT business, so the computers that we had didn't have places they can be staged, didn't have places they could be opened up and prepared for delivery, didn't have any of that. One client called me one day. I was praying about it. We couldn't afford rent, couldn't afford a lease. The client called me up. Bob Leach called me, and he said, "Reggie, I need to talk to you." I came in his office, and Bob and I sat down, and he said, "Reggie, I got space downstairs. It's got its own entrance, and we're not using it. We'd like you to use this space. You don't have to pay me nothing." Did you hear what I said? You don't have to pay me nothing. We're not using the space. You can use it downstairs. He said, "The thing that I want you to be close by when something go wrong." Did you hear what I said? That he saw the benefit of having us near, but I saw the benefit of having God be your God. I saw the benefit of God opening up a door that you didn't even know was there. I'm looking at one thing, God looking at another. God created an opportunity without the resource I thought I needed for it. I want to be satisfied. God, Paul said, learn here. Learn the secret of being satisfied. Learn the secret of having a peace of mind by not getting what you want. Oh! See, the secret is not getting what you want, but wanting what you get. Oh, spend some time with that. Not getting what you want. See, satisfaction isn't, that's not what it's about. Having a satisfied life. The word he uses, let's look at the text. The word he uses for satisfaction, a satisfied life, verse 11. "Now that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content." You see that word?
Yeah.
That word content means satisfied. I learned to be satisfied. I learned to want what I get. And then he said, "I know how to be abased." That means to have little. "And I know how to abound. In everything, in all the things I've learned." Geez, he's a learner. "Both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and suffer need." All of us. We've done. Look. If you've suffered need, it makes you ready for more.
Yes.
Because you've been equipped to go through difficult times. Look, if somebody, that's why it's hard for a rich man to get into the kingdom of God. It's like an eye, it's like going through an eye of a needle, because they've always had much. But when you've had little, and then you had much and you had little, you are ready for God to use you. Ready for him to use you. I know we sometimes, we just, help me understand. Contentment. Help me to understand what satisfaction in the Lord looks like. Because we've, all of us, had varying experiences. But let's make it plain. That you can be satisfied. Look, all of us. If you're content in the Lord, then that means you can be satisfied in a big house, or you can be satisfied in a small room. You can be satisfied with a big steak on your plate, or you can be satisfied with ramen noodles. Hallelujah, somebody.
Yeah.
You can be satisfied with a Joseph A. Bank suit, or you can be satisfied with clothes from the thrift store. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, you know, people don't shout on stuff like this. I don't know why. How come people don't shout when they see God doing what he said he would do?
Thank you.
That God, if you living in a room or a big house, God gave you a roof over your head.
Yes, thank you.
Whether
you
got a steak, a hot dog, or ramen noodles, God put food on your table.
Hallelujah.
Don't matter where your clothes come from, you got clothes on your back. God made provision for you.
Thank you.
That's how you know you're content with what you get. As long as God give it to you, he's met your need and you recognize it. You got to learn that God said that he will never leave you nor forsake you. But he also said, seek first the kingdom of God in Matthew 6:33. And his righteousness and all these things, everything you need will be provided for you. But don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow has its own worries. Tomorrow got its own problems. You don't have to participate in the uncertainty of tomorrow. God got you. He's providing for you. Paul learned that his sufficiency is in Christ. That his sufficiency is in Christ alone. His satisfied life comes from Christ. I can see my mother right now saying, that's why I wanted you to learn on Christmas morning. You don't always have to have toys. That's why I wanted you to eat what was on your plate, even though you didn't like it. My mother used to put Brussels sprouts on my plate. She used to put asparagus and all these other things I ain't like on my plate. And she would not let us get up from there because I didn't learn. She wanted me to understand whether you have much or little, you have to appreciate what's there. How many of you learned to clean your plate when you were coming up? To appreciate what you had. Hallelujah. Paul learned. And he wants us to learn to be content. And what real contentment looks like. Real contentment doesn't mean getting what you want. And that's the problem. People expect to get what they want all the time. But Paul wants us to have the right mind to be grateful for what you get. To be grateful. I remember seeing our children cry when they got something they ain't want. But now they're on their own in places. And now they're seeing what it's like just to have. Just to have what they get. Paul is clear that his life is fed by the faithful provision of God. Just like the children who were in Egypt, coming out of Egypt, going through the wilderness, the manna came down faithfully. The manna came down, they got their portion for the day. They couldn't carry nothing until tomorrow. It was only on the last day of the week that they get another provision for 2 days so that they can honor the Sabbath day, not work on the Sabbath. But God faithfully made provision. And that provision was sufficient for them to complete any given day. And God gives us whatever we need so that we can complete the assignment he gives us any given day. So we shouldn't get mad when things don't seem to go our way. Because if we've made it through the day, then God was faithful and sufficient in what he provided the day before. And when you get that, you're going to shout right now. You're going to shout because every day God is showing you, I provided for you. And that's why you're here right now. I made provision for you, and that's what sustained you to be here today. And I'm not just talking about food. I'm talking about your whole person. God gave provision so your mind would be where it was. He gave provision so your heart would be where it was so you can make it to another day. Because every day we can make it to another day, it means we're learning more and more. And, you know, when we think about this race that we're in, this Christian race that we're in, it's a race that we all are growing in Christ until he comes. But when he comes, we shall be like him. If you here today, I want to encourage you, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. But one day we'll all be perfect. But right now, we're learners. And we're learning together. And Paul said, I want you to learn because I want you to be ready. That's my last point. He wants you to be ready. My last point, Paul wants you to be ready for anything. And what's happened in your life, where you've lacked, where you've gained, is so that you would be ready, so that you would be in a place when you will know God is the one that is fueling your life. Oh,
yes.
God tells Paul, he's telling all of us, that surrender to me. If you want to be happy, you want to be blessed, surrender your life to me. Surrender your life to me. Give me everything. Give me everything. Give up everything, but accept him. And what will happen is we'll gain everything and we'll lose nothing.
Yes.
We'll gain everything and we'll lose nothing. When Abraham, God was speaking to Abraham, God had enlarged Abraham. Abraham little and he had much. God enlarged his territory, and God said to Abraham in Genesis 15 and 1, fear not. Fear not, Abraham. The enemies were all around him, and Abraham had much and had a lot to lose. God says, fear not, Abraham. I am your exceeding great and excellent reward. Then it was him. It was him. And when you have him, you have everything. You have everything. God says, I want you to be ready. And Paul sees this in his own life. And so we get these words from a ready Paul. We get these words in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Some people see that on a word, see that on a shirt, and they may say, okay, you can do all things. And they forget the last piece. You can do all things. You can do all things. You can do all things. You get the last part. Through Christ who strengthens me. It's not nothing arrogant about it, but it's the truth about it, that Christ is the source of his strength.
Yes.
Christ is the source of his life. And he recognizes that, okay. We dealt two things previously. We dealt with disappointment. We dealt with satisfaction. But I want you to know, those disappointments have set you up to be a confident person in Christ Jesus. That all these experiences that God has put in your space, in your path, the things that you bring to the table and the things that he's adding to you now make you competent in him. When you learn, you grow competent. That Paul says, be effective and be fruitful. That this is possible, that this can happen because it is the power of God who strengthens. It is the power of God that provide. Oh, when we need something, when we gain it, it gives you strength. Maybe you don't have the strength in your body that you need, but God has power.
Yeah.
To give you the strength you need. Maybe you don't have the financial resources that you need, but God has the power to bring those things into your space as you need them. Don't matter. Maybe you don't have the mental acuity as others around you. It don't matter. God has the power to renew your mind. Maybe you don't have the discipline to turn away from things that are trying to destroy you. It don't matter, because God has the power to give you a courageous heart to turn away.
Amen.
Maybe you can't see clearly. about what's ahead, but God has the power to sustain you to wait like you need to wait. And we have to understand that worship is so vital to our life. The object of our worship must be Christ. He is the source of our strength. He's our hope. He's our joy. That our circumstances change, but he never changes. Stop running to the circumstance. Run to Christ. He'll be the center of your contentment. He'll be the center of your competence. That our competence is in him. The reason we're able to do what we're able to do well is because of him. Oh, oh, that's worship. That's worship, worship. Your worship makes you content. Your worship makes you competent. It's your worship, your life, that all of us, when we wake in the morning, it should be a call of worship. God called you out of your sleep so that you would see him in your reality, that he's there. It's a call all day. We are to worship him. Every day there's a choice to go to the left or go to the right. He says, worship me. I am the Lord your God. Serve no other God beside me. And you'll find blessedness. You'll find contentment. You'll find satisfaction. And you'll sing the same song that you've heard for many years. I am so satisfied. I am so satisfied with my Savior. He means more to me than anything, anything that this world has to offer me. I am so satisfied. I am so satisfied with my Savior. He means more to me than anything, anything that this world has to offer. We live in the strength and the provision that God gives by his word and his presence. Worship is all we need. To find the contentment that we need, to have the satisfaction, and to find the competence that we need to do the work God has called you to do. Remember this. Faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's look to the Lord in prayer.